You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
This edition of It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, your partner for global wealth creation. Welcome to It's My Money. It's My Money is brought to you by Brenthurst Wealth, South Africa's multi-award winning boutique wealth manager. With me today is Sonia Duplessis, and we're going to talk about a subject which is terribly interesting and makes for good podcasting, but unfortunately, I really wouldn't want to talk about it too often. Sonia, we're talking about the market chaos of the last few days, and you sent me a really interesting piece.
Yeah, hello, Lindsay, and hello to your listeners.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think it's good to talk about what's happening in markets at the moment. We all woke up on Monday morning with quite a few clients being very concerned and up in arms and thinking that the whole world is going to end. But we've seen this story before. And yeah, I thought of, you know, let's just run through on what actually happened and what made markets react the way they did.
Okay, before you go on, Sonia, I just want to give you my 10 cents worth here. When I saw what happened last week, and I saw the Japanese market falling on Thursday and Friday, and then obviously we know what happened yesterday, Monday that is,
yeah.
I thought to myself, well, if I was a sort of financial weather person, you would see Japan raising interest rates for the first time for goodness knows how long. So they raised rates, big, big economy and an incredibly important central bank. So they did one thing. The US central bank, the US Federal Reserve, did nothing, left rates flat. The Bank of England, also pretty important bank, cut their rates by 25 basis points. So you get this high pressure and this low pressure. And when high pressure and low pressure comes together, if you're a weather person, you know, it means there's going to be stormy weather ahead. And of course, we got that. Yeah. That's my simplistic analysis of what goes on. But your more sophisticated one is coming now. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, Lindsay, that's exactly that. And I think, I mean, you mentioned now Bank of Japan, that was the biggest culprit. They raised interest rates from 0.1% to 0.25%. And Lindsay, imagine having an interest rate of 0.1%. I mean, it's an absolute pleasure. So us as South Africans, we're not used to that. But they raised interest rates to 0.25%. And like you mentioned, it's only the second time since 2007. So it was a bit of a shock to the market. That caused the Japanese market to have a bit of a skrik, a fright, and it was down 20% in 3 days' time.
That's amazing. That's bear market territory, in other words. You're talking about Nikkei Dow stock market.
It's a massive drop. It is a big, big drop. But what happened was a lot of people borrowed money in Japan and invested that elsewhere because, I mean, obviously you can borrow the money very cheaply at 0.1% and then invest it in other assets. A lot of it went to emerging markets, like, I mean, South Africa is one of them where you can easily, on our bond market, which is very safe, can easily get 9-10%. Now, when they raised interest rates, these people, not all of them will be able to afford the loans, and that made markets react because now they can't repay their loans and they've got to force sell their equities or their other assets to try and cover the loans. And that was just sort of like a perfect storm of events, and that made markets fall.
Exactly. And the other thing is, of course, when the flow of capital between different jurisdictions, between different economies, is all to do with the price of money, and that's the interest rate. And so when an interest rate changes, and it hasn't changed for so long, then, as you say, it causes a good deal of consternation. And then at the same time, we had bad economic data, not only from the world's largest economy, the US, but also Europe, in the form of Germany. So tell us about the fears of a US recession, if you would.
Yeah, that's on top of that. Last week, Friday, the US unemployment rate came out and the market expected better than the data that was publicized. And the US only added 114,000 jobs. So that made the market also react the way it did. But Lindsay, I mean, you've been in this industry for a very long time and you know that everyone always talks about this US recession, this upcoming US recession. So
yes.
it's, it's almost always on the back burner that there's some sort of U.S. recession on the cards. And, I mean, the U.S. market had a good run the last 5, 7, 10 years. So we're all very wary that the market is high and there might be a possible recession, but it's not to say that it will happen. We've got a U.S. election coming up in November. So we are of the opinion that we're not going to see big moves until then. And we're most likely going to have a market that moves sideways. But chances are very low that we're going to have a recession in the next couple of months. But one has to be aware of that. And, you know, you have to take that into consideration, especially if you're placing new money, not to go too heavy on U.S. equities. And obviously, yeah, the tech stocks had a huge run in the last couple of years, and those are the stocks that came down the most.
Yeah, but they've had such a run. I mean, if you look at something like NVIDIA, in that piece that you kindly sent me, you say NVIDIA down 5%. 5% compared to, gosh, like 150% for the year or something. I don't even know the numbers now because they're so staggering. Apple down 3%, Tesla down 5%. Tesla's a different story, but anyway, the fact is that if you look at the S&P 500 graph and go back and say, well, these numbers that you're seeing now on your screen were new highs back in April, May. So is it that bad? No, it's a natural cycle, isn't it, Sonia, don't you think?
Yes. Yeah, no, it is. But I just want to add, on top of that, I think the third thing that added to this whole concoction of storm of events is definitely the geopolitical tensions. You know, it's something that's always in the back of our mind, and we had that targeted strike, I think it was the 1st of August, that killed a senior Hamas leader.
Yes.
And that just, you know, spooked markets again. And, you know, we're all aware of it. So we're definitely not in favorable conditions where markets can just run freely. There's a lot of things going on at the moment. But yeah, I mean, like you say, what should we do? Or, you know, these things will always happen. I mean, markets work in cycles. It's not always going to move up in a straight line. It's perfectly normal.
It is normal, Sonia. And when you say what should we do, because this is the interesting part now, because we've been talking about macroeconomic issues and market machinations and all that sort of thing. But from a personal finance and wealth management point of view, which is your business, I'm just, before we go into that, I want you to tell me, have you had more calls than normal on Monday and today from investors or your client portfolio, your high net worth individuals that are slightly concerned? Yeah. Have you had more calls?
Yes. Yeah, definitely, Lindsay. We had more concerned people. The clients, I must admit, clients that's been with us a bit longer, they, like, you know, that's been through the global financial crisis and through COVID, they're okay. They, you know, we've sort of like coached them through these ups and downs before. So they're not so anxious. Younger clients and some of our newer clients, you know, we've still got to learn them the ropes and they do get anxious. So, and you know, that's sort of like the worst thing that you can do is make, because you'll make a decision based on things that we don't really know what's going to happen. You know, it's an emotional decision. It's going to affect your long-term plan, and it's not necessarily the right decision. You know, one of the lessons that we learned from COVID is that, you know, we had markets dropping 20-30% in a month's time, and a couple of months later, we were almost back at the levels before it dropped. So that's one of the big lessons that we learned from COVID, is not to make rash or irrational decisions, even if it looks, you know, as bad as it looks. So it's all part of market cycles. Things tend to correct. And one of the worst things that you can do is sell when markets are going down. We do tell clients that, you know, if your time frame changes, so we always tell clients between 5 and 8 years, you're supposed to leave the money. But for example, if you've got an illness or your life expectancy is not as it should be, your time frame changes, then that's one of the reasons that can justify changing to something else. And the other thing also, Lindsay, is not all of us have got the same tolerance towards risk. You've got clients that that are okay with going through the choppiness of equity markets. And then you've got other clients that just cannot tolerate it. And those clients that cannot tolerate it should not then be in a high-risk 100% equity investment. You know, those type of clients should be in lower-risk funds or more medium-risk funds. So, and we're aware of that. And you have to adjust according to a client's sort of like, you know, tolerance towards risk or his risk profile.
Well, this is interesting. The other thing is that if I was a marketer for Brentos Wealth, I would always have this graph on my laptop when I'm making a presentation. I would say, just have a look at the dips we've had in the market over the last 20 years or so. And when you look at that 20-year graph or whatever the period you choose, you see that these dips, and you can see that they are dips and they look significant, but ultimately the markets bounce back. So I would say if you've got extra money to commit, when you see something like what's happened over the last few days, or you see an October 1987, or you see a NASDAQ crash in early 2000, whatever it was, commit more money, because ultimately it's a long-term winner, Sonia.
Yes, no, exactly. And I think that exact graph is something that like all of us should, like all financial planners in the industry, you want to laminate it and like give it to a client. And then you actually don't need something else to, you know, on your table if you want to explain something to a client. But it's not nice going through those dips. And some clients understand it, but some clients just do not, you know, they get too anxious. They can't sleep at night and then it's not worth it. And then what we do is we'll say to the client, listen, we'll put a portion of your money into high-risk funds. We sort of forget about that, and the rest of it we manage a little bit more conservatively.
You say, what should...
Lindsay, happen, and it will happen going forward. It's part of what we do, and it's part of markets.
Quite right, too, and that's what makes them quite fun, actually. I mean, fun is the wrong word when your portfolio has fallen by 3-4%, but it does present opportunities. You say avoid becoming too pessimistic. It's all normal for markets to go through these cycles, as you've just said. What else have we got to say? The COVID story was a little bit longer than most of us would have liked, but on the other hand, that's wormed its way out of the system as well. Don't listen to everything in the media. It will make you your decisions emotionally driven. The point is about the media, which is another thing that you should, in my mind, should tell your clients, is that the media is there to create headlines and to get viewers and listeners. And then the next day it's gone. So it's not investment advice. It's the headlines, and they get more people watching when there is bad news, Sonia, than when there's good news.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, bad news and drama sells. And these days, what we are finding is clients also, I mean, all of us, we are listening to so much things in the media, you know, social media, television, everywhere, internet. It's very overwhelming. And you should be careful to who you listen and who you follow, because it's not necessarily in your best interest. So it's, one should definitely, from an investor's point of view, not listen to everything. Have your specific people that you trust and follow, listen to them, but don't listen to everything that's out in the market.
Right. Let's sum this up now. Don't panic, I think, is the first thing. Speak to your financial advisor, who is an amateur psychologist as well, and it'll all be fine, whether it's in a week or a month or 3 months after the US election. Who cares? It's a tiny little microcosm in your life. Is that a good summary?
Yes, I think it's a good summary. You've perfectly summed it up.
Brilliant. Thank you, Sonia. Thanks very much for your expert advice. Sonia Duplessis is from Brentos Wealth, and that was It's My Money. It's My Money was brought to you by Brentos Wealth, an award-winning boutique wealth management company.